Acts, the second chapter. I'm just going to kind of do an overview this morning. You have some notes, I think, that were passed out to you. Acts chapter 2. It's been a full morning, but we also want to be obedient to the Lord. When I asked the Lord where to go this fall, He led me to the book of Acts, and I believe we're paralleling this here in our generation. We really want to see God move in a powerful way. As if you're anything like me, I can't wait to see this manifest revival here in Rochester. Amen. God continues to remind me why I came. The other day when we were praying at this meetings, and I talked to Mick afterwards about it, I can remember the exact place I was at here in Rochester. I was right on Main Street, standing, looking at, wondered what in the world a corn cob was doing on a tree, half eaten, right there between 11th and 12th on Main Street. And I was looking, I was jogging, I stopped to look at that thing, and I kind of figured out animal must have eaten half of it. Now I know, I guess the squirrels come and they feed the squirrels. But I was standing there looking at that, and God said, I'm sending you here to Rochester for revival. Now, that was one day before I'd ever seen the church, the inside of the church. I saw the outside. I hadn't seen the inside of the church, and I had just met people from this church via computer, Skype. And God spoke to me at that time and said, I'm sending you here for revival. And so here we are, almost 4 years later, and that is yet to manifest, but there are some things going on in both the community and in our church and in America that give me great hope. That give me great hope. I'm not worried about the darkness. We're always going to have to deal with the darkness. Come on, someone. But the darkness is going to be lit up by folks like you and I as we're obedient to the Lord. Right after Peter's message, they came to him and said, what must we do, men and brethren? And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, if you're there, Acts 2:40, with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily, verse 46, with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. What is said today, this morning, if you're a visitor, welcome. But what is said today is for new life. Although we are a part of the universal church and the church is here in the community, what I want to say just for the next few minutes, I promise I won't keep you long. And although we are one with the churches around us, we as new life, as this part of the vineyard that God has appointed, we have a responsibility to obey the word of the Lord. And I believe that the pattern that is used in the word of God is here in Acts chapter 2. Here in these verses that we just read is kind of a pattern that God requires us to walk in as a local church. And the responsibility to us is outlined in these verses. We will look very carefully as we enunciate and elucidate and shine the light on specific steps that you and I are to take. We have a responsibility. Coming to a local church is not only I'm going to come and this is the place I get fed. Thank God. I hope you are being fed. But how many know we have a responsibility? Turn to somebody and say, I have a responsibility. See, those things, we've kind of gotten to a place where we've fallen into a pattern, in churches that, you know, you, you hire a pastor and he comes and he kind of gets all that stuff done. Well, no, our job is to equip you to go and do the work. Come on, somebody. And there are a bunch of folks here, love y'all. There are a bunch of folks that do work. We're very busy doing church stuff. We also need to be busy about the work of the Lord in our community, in our families, on our streets, in our homes. Come on, someone.
Amen.
So the first thing that the Scripture says in verse 42 is they continued steadfastly in the Word. And I encourage you, be a student of the Word of God. There is absolutely no excuse for not knowing what the Word of God says. If you don't like to read, listen to it. If you don't like to listen to it, do something different. But get the Word of God in you. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." Now that "you" means you. Make sure that you know the Word of God. Deuteronomy 11:18 says, "Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." There is such a vast spirit of deception that has hit our nation. And people have rewritten the Word to fit their doctrines and their lifestyles. And they're preaching that other gospel. And if you don't know the Word of God, you can be fooled. And if you don't think that's possible, just look what's happened in the last 15, 20 years. It's just almost unrecognizable because there's another gospel being preached. Know the Word of God. Know the Word of God. No matter what time you have to give, you must give it. Know the Word. Jeremiah 15:16, "Your words were found and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." No matter what time you have to give, give it. Know the Word. Jesus said that when you know the truth, you are made free. Study, ponder, and ask the Lord for wisdom so that you're not easily fooled, so you're not rocked to sleep. It's not a time for the church to be asleep. We'll get plenty of time to rest in the sweet by and by. Until then, we're to be actively involved in the changing of the world and the environment that we're in. It's quiet in here. Know the Word. Know what the Word of God says. Secondly, it says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Then they continued in the breaking of bread. Whether or not this was communion or just breaking bread, there's a definite desire that God has that can be seen here. The coming together. Sometimes we have meals that we get together. Almost after every service, we're back there. Take advantage of that and sit with somebody you don't hardly know. Continue with the breaking of bread because there's something intimate about that. And invite people also to come to your house. We need to get to know one another after the Spirit. Are you there? Because we all have a certain way we look on Sunday morning, you know. We put on our Sunday morning face. But I like to see what you're doing on Thursday afternoon, Friday morning. I want to see what's going on with your heart. Come on, someone. Don't be afraid. Open up your home. Get to know one another. Invite each other to each other's homes and go out and hang out together. Get to know one another. They had all things in common here in the first church, and they knew one another, and they were strengthened by that. And they continued, they continued in prayers. Time and again, the Lord encourages, prods, and challenges us in the realm of prayer. Sometimes when we have prayer like we did this morning, there's an awkwardness. I don't know how to pray in public. I don't know how to be with people in public in prayer. Get used to it, because we're a praying church. We want to pray and discuss things with the Lord while we're together so we can hear God together. Come on, someone. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Learn to pray. Just like you listen to the Word, learn to pray. Like Terry said to the children, just talk to God. Just talk to God. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Prayers are the vehicles of action, and heaven responds when we pray. This thing God set up. He said, if you pray, when you pray, He says, when you pray, this is how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven. His response is waiting for our prayers. He can't respond if we're not praying. Prayers change circumstances and establishes our presence on the earth. Someone said that in the other film we saw last week, Dutch was mentioning, we just think God is sovereign and He's going to have His way no matter if we pray or not. That's absolutely ridiculous. We need to knock on heaven's door and ask Him, please God, please spare America from certain people that we don't want to see in the White House. Now, God's going to get the work done besides whoever's in the White House, but we certainly want some help. It goes on to say that there was fear of the Lord. Then fear came upon every soul. You know what? There's not enough fear of the Lord. We need to embrace the fear of the Lord. The fear of God accompanies every valid move of the Spirit. Every valid revival requires the people that are following after God to put Him in the place that He belongs. He's God. He doesn't share His glory, His power, His anointing with anyone. He shares His anointing through us, but it's God that we need to realize is God. He sits on top of the world. There's nobody above Him. The fear of God, the Scripture says, is the beginning of wisdom in Psalm 111, verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence. We need to again put God in the rightful place. In verse 27 of that same chapter, Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Realizing who He is. We are serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's just not a good guy, not a big guy with a beard that is benevolent and He rains blessing on us. He is the Creator God. He created our very breath. Proverbs 15:16, Solomon says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. Listen again. The fear of the Lord leads to life. And that life is the higher life. That life is the spiritual life. The fear of the Lord leads to life. And he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. And it goes on to say in that same passage, watch now, this is a command for us. Fear come upon every soul. And wonders and signs were done through the apostles. I thank God for testimonies like Linda gave this morning. God is here healing right now. He's healing bodies. He's healing lives. He's changing things. We can expect signs and wonders. Look for, expect, and yield to that anointing in new life and surrounding area. How can God be God void of signs and wonders? There are some say that God has stopped signs and wonders, that there's not healings that take place anymore. I say balderdash. I say that's a bunch of hooey. Come on, someone. God is still God. He didn't change. He didn't become this verbose personality just for a few years while the church was established and say, hey, I'm going to help you guys along by showing up and giving you a little bit of push in the right direction. I'll heal a few people. I'll cause people to be raised from the dead and everybody will get excited. And then I'm going to leave and you can tell everybody that used to happen. That's what people that believe that God stopped the miracles at the end of the Bible want us to believe, that God no longer heals. My God heals. He heals all the time. He's a healer. He works signs and wonders and miracles amongst His people. We need to live in that expectation. God is still God. Look what it says. It says, the wonders and signs, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And then verse 44 says, now all who believed were together and had all things in common. Now I'm not asking for, by the way, signs and wonders are mentioned 31 times in the New Testament, 16 times in the book of Acts alone. Signs and wonders. Unity is priority one. They continued with one accord. The key to the power seen here was the unity of believers. One accord, by the way, is mentioned 7 times in the book of Acts. That doesn't mean that we sell everything and move in with me. I love you, but I don't want you living with me. I mean, if you need a place, you absolutely need a place to stay. It's yours, but we'll help you find your own house. Come on, is anybody else there? Look at somebody and say, I know what he's talking about. You know, because, you know, I want to be able to take my shoes off. My feet stink. I don't want, you know. But we need to have a one accord. We need to have, when one weeps, everybody weeps. When one rejoices, everybody rejoices. We need to have a one accord. And we're well down the road on there, but we need to remind ourselves. Unity is priority one. One of the things that is happening that is extra a blessing for me is the unity I find with other pastors in the community. We prayed at AirVac over on Old Route 31 there last Tuesday in their break room. We went just to pray and bless that company. We had like 8 of us there praying. And so, you know, and we hear from each other all the time. I have lunch with one of the pastors and we just talk by the phone. We're always encouraging one another. A lot of times I hear from them before church starts on Sunday morning. Wonderful things are happening in unity. But we as New Life, listen, we need to be together no matter what. Now, there are times when you want to just, you don't want to be around somebody. Because they make you mad. But we need to walk in forgiveness and embrace and continue to love. Because people are going to be added to our church. And they need to know that they're accepted. John 17:21, that they all may be one, Jesus said, as you, Father, are in me and I in you. How many know that God the Father and God the Son are one? We're supposed to have that same oneness. Turn to somebody and say, I want to be one with you. And if it's your wife and your husband, that better already be. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10 says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, that you may be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now that's for a local church. We're supposed to be walking as one, no divisions. And we need to spend time in warfare prayer, making sure the enemy is not trying to divide. Because one thing I know about modern church is we get sometimes hurt so easy because we misunderstand someone. Take the time to bear with one another. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with one another, forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Are you there? We must walk in forgiveness. Yes, you said something stupid. Yes, you're ugly today, but I still love you. Come on, someone. And then it goes on to say they went from house to house, had all things in common, sold their possessions and goods, divided among them all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Again, common bond of the Spirit that was cultivated between them. I know this goes against the grain. We get outside of our comfort level. Sometimes we say, hey, let's get together. If you're uncomfortable having somebody at the house, go to McDonald's and spend $1 for coffee and just sit with each other. Learn each other where the boundaries are, where your strengths are, where your weaknesses are. In this coming days, we're going to need one another. And it says they shared their food with gladness and simplicity. The joy of the Lord is a strength to the believer. Don't try to be something or someone. Don't try to impress anybody. Just be yourself. Terry and I live our lives by the KISS theory. Keep it simple, saint. Come on, someone. Just keep it simple. Just have simplicity of heart and love one another. And it says they continued in praise. Absolutely the easiest thing to do on the list is praise. Enter in and have worship when a worship team is ministering. Enter in, pursue after the Holy Spirit in praise, and then watch it grow at home. Make your home a house of praise. Used to be you had to go buy fancy stereos. Now if you have any kind of a phone, you can just turn on Pandora or go on YouTube. I mean, any song Terry and I think about in the last 35 years, we've sang lots of praise songs. And once in a while, we'll think about a praise song and turn it on our phone, and all of a sudden, our house is a house of praise. Learn to praise and worship so that whenever the worship team comes, we're not having to prime the pump. And a lot of that's already happening. There's some high praise and worship happens here. I've held you for 15 minutes. 2 more minutes. Let me close. Maintain and gain favor in this community. They found favor with all those around them. We don't need to be all, you know, what are those Christians all about? A lot of times people don't want to come to church because we're kind of secretive. Gain favor. Get involved and stay connected. Let your name be known in this community. I just recently lost my mind. No, I didn't. I listened to the Lord and got involved. I'm going to be on the school board starting in January. And so I went to the school board meeting just to find out what's going on. And I went, you want me to do this? As if I don't have enough to do? I mean, they gave me a stack of policies and procedures and said, here, study these. I'm like, I don't want to do that. But it's a wonderful time to get involved with the community and get involved with the school. And I'm excited about it. But listen, I have a full plate. But I want to get involved. I'm encouraging you, get involved in the community. Volunteer for something. Get to know your neighbors. Do whatever it takes. Let's get our name out there, your name out there, and mostly the name of Christ. Hallelujah. Maintain and gain favor in this community. And then it says that they were added to daily. Expect growth as a blessing from the Father. Pray with me that new life grows. Not for the purpose of any other thing, but to see souls saved. We need a mindset that is yet to take hold of new life. And that's that we're going to be uncomfortable. We're supposed to grow. This is one, we're one with growth because the Holy Spirit is increasing daily in our midst. Pray for, witness, and invite those around you. The result will be growth. Invite somebody to church. Get used to the idea that we will not know everyone and everyone will not know us. It'll get uncomfortable. How many has ever been a part of a growing church? Raise your hands. It gets very uncomfortable because you all of a sudden all these new people are coming and you're saying, I don't know anybody. That's okay. You'll get to know them. If that's the fear, if that's what's keeping you from doing it, stop it. Intimacy will continue. It will just take another form. It will actually take a little bit of more time, but that's okay. Volunteer your times, talents, and treasures. Find out where there's a hole in the ministry instead of, you know, there's 3 kinds of people that are on a boat that's sinking. I'm not saying New Life is sinking, but on a sinking boat, somebody comes and says, there's a hole in the boat, I'm out of here. Jump overboard. Second person comes, says, there's a hole in the boat, what are you going to do about it? And the third person goes and plugs the hole. So if there's ministry that you see that needs done here at New Life, and ask the Lord if you can take care of that ministry. I don't see a lot of smiles. But God is calling us just like He was calling the first church when He poured out His Spirit. He said, "You're going to be my witnesses." And He began to show them practically what that was all about. And as we continue in Acts chapter 3 next week, we'll continue to talk about that. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You, God, that Your Word is righteous and true altogether. I thank You for this time of prayer this morning. God, as we close, we're very keenly aware of the situation that we're in this nation. God, we thank You for birthing us for this time. That New Life would not only be a place of prayer, but it would be a place of action. God, that we would see change in our community. We'd be glad to lead that, Father. Build us, strengthen us from within as we're witnesses to You. We thank You and bless You in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.